Here comes Chaudhry, has the ball in. At the buzzer, he throws up a shot. It's good! And we're tied! 76-all, Chaudhry flew through the lane and lays it in.
Shades of Danny Ainge, Tyus Edney, UCLA. Chaudhry goes the full length in 3.2 seconds to lay it in right at the buzzer.
We're going double overtime.
This is why we do local sports. This is the greatest show in town.
Central Valley, it's time for the 940 ESPN Rise Show. The 940 ESPN Rise Show is brought to you by Bowman & Associates, Fashion Furniture, and Van Buren Insurance. And now, here are your hosts, Nick Papagni and Matt Johnson.
And a pleasant good afternoon. We are live at Fashion Furniture. This is a special edition of the Rise Show. If you're wondering, what's going on? It's Wednesday. Well, tomorrow it's Giant Baseball. But, Matt, if that doesn't get you fired up for the Rise Show after that opening, then I don't know what to tell you. It's Matt Johnson, Pagnier. How are you?
I'm doing well. This is why we do local sports.
Yes, and this is why local sports dominates over anything. It's unbelievable. That tells me everything I want to know
right
there.
The spirit, the passion. Welcome, Pag Meter.
How are you? Happy Easter.
Happy Easter to you. Loved your party. Went well. It was a good turnout. Very excited for you in the Man of the Year status.
Not too bad for about a 24-hour notice for every. We even know where we're going to have it.
Yeah, we shift locations four times in 24 hours, settled in on one, and threw a party.
And I do want to say, before we get to that, but I do want to say, it's Easter time. Fashion Furniture is your Easter headquarters. A lot of families here today. Taking a look at the beautiful, you're getting your house ready for the Easter Bunny.
You're always getting your house ready. I figured that out a long time ago with my wife. There's always something that needs to be done.
No question.
Some new addition, something you need to add to your house. If you need, come on by here. Help make your decision a little bit easier.
Every time I come over there in the couch area, they have so many new cool things that the guys will like. You can put the drinks on, maybe your laptop, and it's just comfortable. The seat, the headrest, they got them going on over there.
Yep, and the older you get, the closer you come to the reclining chair that actually reclines you up back to your feet. That's the one I now have my eyes on.
And does every house just focus on the big screen TV and everything around it? You got to make sure you're comfortable watching.
I think it's a fair estimate with all the action in sports. Of course, the Tiger Woods story, which was the featured event of this last week. I think television watching and viewership is way up. Game of Thrones is back on. How do you do?
You're a happy guy.
Brockmeyer and I are doing very well.
Well, Matt mentioned the party. What, Pagminer had one of those lymphoma leukemia parties. It was a fundraiser, but I'm telling you what, Saturday night at my cousin's winery, Papagni Wine. And I want to give a huge shout-out and the love to Matt Billingsley from the Doghouse Grill, because Matt brought the restaurant out to Madera.
Matt is a true, true local sensational business owner slash operator that values his time, but he gave up enough to come out and volunteer with you. And what just to see him in the back 40 back there in that big, beautiful winery, and working behind the scenes, putting out more meat, more chicken, more food, more fries, more onion rings, more salads, sweating in grease. Matt Billingsley is definitely on my all-star list.
He's my hero of the week. And I go to him, hey, Matt, what can I do? You got it all covered. Can I go get ice? He goes, Nick, I got an ice truck. He brought in an ice truck.
Yep.
he had everything covered.
Lovely man.
Yeah, really, really.
Slash to himself quite a bit, you know, in his early days, still to this day, model, actor, yeah. Athlete.
Yeah, my wife.
Slash.
My wife. He's handsome.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's really good. Look, okay, enough. Enough with the good look, but yeah, he's a good look.
When a man
guy.
Has an apron on and he's cooking and baking off treats, I think that's a special, special man.
We got to see great people. Brian Tesler, the legendary basketball coach, was there with his wife, Christine. You were there from the beginning. Nick Folio, Alexa, they all did a great job. But that winery turned out to be perfect. We had that back room where it was where the bar area was. God, that was beautiful. We had three different locations in that thing.
Yep. We only had one problem, and that was the one Twitter message you received from some anonymous guy that
seemed to have a little bit of
a problem. I think he has a mental problem. I'd love to see him anytime. Call me out at any point. I can meet you anywhere we'd like to see you. It's what I do.
Yeah, but I know who
it was.
It's
a challenge.
I know who it was, and he's got some issues, no doubt about it.
Yeah.
We could talk about that another time. But let's start with the Tiger Woods. Now, I think the young kids, Matt, have no idea what Tiger Woods is all about. Tiger Woods made golf what it is today. And everyone should thank him from the TV. There wouldn't be a golf channel. There wouldn't. The new golfers now should thank him. The new equipment, the golf courses, everything. It's because of Tiger Woods. And I don't think kids fully realize that.
Yeah, now I think you're going the opposite too far. I mean,
really?
Of course there would have been a golf channel. Of course there would have been
still
a sliver of great energy in golf. But what Tiger did was he infused life back in the sport of golf. After the Jack Nicklaus, let's take it all the way back to Arnold Palmer and Jack, and then Jack running his thing. Because you remember, I do at least, I'm old enough to remember watching Jack win that Masters in 1986, to feel the power of golf come on in this great country of ours, but then to kind of wane. And then a young man by the name of the Shark, the great white shark, Greg Norman, he took golf to the next step and kept this thing going. And then, and there was a great group of golfers around him, Nick Faldo, the late, great Payne Stewart, Paul Azinger. There was Fred Couples. There was golf was hitting it. And then it waned, and then came the young sensation, Tiger Woods, who's taken golf to a new level. When he went out of the game with all those injuries and his personal problems, golf, you felt that golf was slipping. And now in the last year, to see him come back and win a world golf event and then come back and win the Masters, now golf is right back where it should be at all times. What a great, great moment in the history of athletics.
No question about it. What I'm saying is Tiger changed the game.
He changed the game. They Tiger-proofed the golf courses. He was the only one when he came on board that was booming drives to that distance. He was the one that people thought that would easily surpass Jack Nicklaus, but they started adapting the courses and everything to try to slow him down. I really believe that because he was just too long. He could tame the great golf courses that were used to giving up, you know, minus one, plus two would win tournaments. Then all of a sudden he comes in and throws up minus 14 and these big, big, great tournament wins with running away with the thing. They started changing the game. And they started changing, as you said, the equipment, the golf ball, apparel. Everything that he brought to the party certainly revolutionized the world of golf. I agree.
They started making drivers the size of your shoe, okay? Because of him, everybody wanted to try to hit it 300 yards. That was the next key. Then all of a sudden, these golf courses started changing. Well, we got to tiger-proof it, and they started doing that narrow, longer, making it better. But I tweeted about it. Tiger Woods is that kind of an elite athlete that you can almost compare him to Jackie Robinson. That's how much he changed the game. Bob Gibson in '68 changed the pitching mound. They lowered it because he was too dominating. Shaquille O'Neal changed the game because he got fouled every time. They didn't call it. So they changed. There's some people, and we can go. Muhammad Ali back in the day, he was boxing. But you can't even compare boxer Muhammad Ali to Tiger Woods because Tiger Woods was the elite. Muhammad was, you know, argument, debate, was he that good? Was he not good? You can go over and over.
Well,
but he changed.
Yeah,
he changed boxing.
He's the greatest heavyweight that ever lived.
Not even
between
close.
Rocky Marciano and
not even
Muhammad
in the ballpark
Ali.
Of Muhammad Ali.
There's no
Ali.
Chance.
We could debate all that.
But
he
we
was boxing
can.
Back then. He started and created
AJ
boxing.
AJ Foyt, auto racing, right? Richard Petty, probably. I thought Michael Schumacher brought Formula One back to the forefront in auto racing. Roger DeCoster in motocross, Tiger Woods for the game. You're something, I believe, and you can place him in what part of Mount Rushmore you want to be in with Tiger Woods. But any time you can take your sport and turn it global to where I've never, you know, myself not personally, but you can pick anyone off the street. You ever play golf? No. But I like Tiger. Michael Jordan basketball, Larry Bird, Magic Johnson, Jerry West, all those different people that transform not only their sport, but the world of sport.
Yeah.
Certainly Tiger Woods belongs in that category.
And there's so many fans that can't play golf. Bobby's probably one of them. I bet he's at 70 handicap. But he loves golf. And he's, you know, Andrew is here.
Bobby's a golfer. He knows the game.
But I'm just saying, there's so many fans out there who probably can't swing the club, but they are Tiger Woods fans. And you TV, the ratings went through the roof back in the day, and now it's back. And these new golfers got to be thanking him because he started.
And how dare those few that are out there that are questioning the congressional medal that Donald Trump wants to give the president to Tiger Woods? He has done exactly what I believe that medal stands for. Go down to the pure bottom depths of hell, pull yourself up, regroup, and continue to push forward for some magical moment to recapture in your life to prove to everyone that the spirit and the hope is still alive, not only in himself, but the country and everything else. He proves that in this country, you can climb that mountaintop and get back to wherever you used to be. I mean, I've never, ever been a part of a story quite like this. Because you have to understand, the game of golf, from where it was, let's say, in the 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, you're talking about not just a handful of elite golfers. We're talking about the field that he had to go conquer and beat to win that green jacket. There's nothing like that. I don't think there's any sport to where the odds are to bet on you, the numbers are so astronomical because to beat the rest of the field, one man to beat everyone else, at this level that they're playing in this day and age, Rory McIlroy, these guys are amazing, Dustin Johnson. And he did it coming off of fused back. He's got his back is fused, which means he doesn't have the pliability, not only did he used to have, that most golfers do have. He rearranged his swing to get around that. I don't know if you've ever torn Achilles, but I've had several friends. Once that goes, in World War I, the Germans used to cut the Achilles tendon of their enemy because then they knew it would take three soldiers out of the commission because two of them would have to carry the guy everywhere he went. So to come off the injuries and everything, this is the greatest human interest sports story that I've ever remembered in my life.
And I grew up watching Jack Nicklaus. We all did. And I think Tiger Woods today, you're right, there's way more competition now than the four or five golfers back in the day. Don't you think? They had Gary Player and Trevino and Watson, but not like today.
Absolutely. There was plenty of great golfers, don't get me wrong, but the innovation of training, physical training, I mean, the mental aspect to the game, the equipment, the playing field is about as level as it's ever been. When Jack was doing it, you can't take anything away from the Golden Bear. He is it in golf. But to finish, he not only won those 18 majors, some crazy number like he was runner-up in 20-plus more. So he had an opportunity to win 30 major championships. I just don't think that the game of golf today will ever have one singular leader that is that dominant. But in the beginning, when Tiger was hitting it, he was that dominant when he was young.
I'm just wondering, as Jack has 18 career majors, Tiger now with 15. Can anyone even be close to those two? I mean, I'm sure there will. 30 years from now, we'll have another phenom come in. He'll just be unbelievable. But, boy, think about that.
Well, think of the guys that you admire in that sport that have won major championships. You know, wow, he's got three majors.
Yeah.
These guys who approach the teens and then the people that are in the teens, 15, 18, major championships.
So who's the greatest golfer of all time right now?
Well, today? Jack Nicklaus.
So he's got to go Jack.
It's very arguable. Yeah. Arguable. Yeah. Of course, I would say Tiger. But you can't argue with, you know, rings. You can't argue with rings, Tom Brady, and you can't argue with major championships. I guess that's the criteria they've set. The greatest of all time, Jack Nicklaus. Second right now, clearly, would be Tiger Woods.
I would bet now golf courses this week, I know it's Easter vacation, are packed. Everybody wants to start playing golf again when they see something like that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Until they actually go out there and they realize how difficult the sport is, and then they put their clubs away like I did 2 years ago and said, I'm not doing this
anymore. That's the other problem, Matt, because you don't see little kids playing golf like they did back in the day. It's a tough sport. You've got to play a lot to be good, and people don't have the patience anymore.
Yeah, and it's not a bat and ball, football. It's not a soccer. It's not that kind of sport. You've got to actually go and pay. I mean, there's some fees involved.
And practice a lot.
So no matter what people say, I mean, it is an elitist sport. Let's not kid ourselves. Those country clubs weren't built on the backside of the middle class. Some of those country clubs are for the elite, financially speaking. So it's obviously not a sport, although they've made roads through Tiger Woods Foundation and others. Tee to Green, the first putt, our local group that helps inspire young kids that don't have a lot of money or privilege to learn to play golf. But that's not that large of a group. I mean, it's clearly a sport of people that grow up in castles in England and are knighted when they're, you know, 12 years old to play the game of golf. But it is a worldwide game.
It is a worldwide game, but more golf courses are closing now. We know Fresno West closed back in the day. Fig Garden Golf Course closed. I think a lot of kids aren't playing with pops anymore. Hey, let's go out and play golf on Sunday. Those days, maybe because of the divorce rate, but I think there's two sports that are probably slowly dwindling. Boxing is almost dead. There's no doubt. Thanks to Jose Ramirez keeping it alive around here. If it wasn't for Jose Ramirez, that sport is dwindling, and golf. But maybe Tiger can bring it back.
Well, he better do it quick because he only has a few years left of real meaningful golf. The problem with golf courses, I've always felt like, and I am a big fan of golf, but I've always felt like at times that's some of the greatest waste of real estate I've ever seen for a pure developer standpoint. I mean, you take Fig Garden where they closed down. Beautiful setting.
By the river.
Could you imagine some property down there being developed? I mean, that's just a beautiful setting. And most golf courses do appear in those areas. So it's truly a financial decision to keep, you know, when you're sitting on property like that, I mean, either you're having lots of play on that golf course, but if play starts to dwindle like a lot of these golf courses have, well, I still have the property. I could build some homes down here and make a fortune. So I guarantee they're always wrestling with that idea.
Well, that being said, I think you get clubs out. Let's go play tomorrow.
Why not? It's Easter. I could see something like that coming in my
You got about eight gift certificates from all these golf courses.
Yeah, I've got foursomes at Pebble that I never used. Spyglass. A lot of good golf courses. Ironwood in the Palm Desert, the desert region, that's at Arnold Palmer Golf Course. Played a lot when I was in college on spring break with my best friend roommate at the time, Sean Salisbury. We played a lot of golf.
Yeah, you can't beat golf. There's nothing like it. I do want to thank some of the silent auction items. Mike Garabedian, he came through with a great gift. Poopy, or Eddie Papoulias. From Pappy's, I call him Poopy because I grew up with the man, okay? I love him to death.
That just got us revoked. We just lost our radio ship there. That just lost all
Well,
radio.
You got to know.
Everyone's
got to
know now.
You got to love Pappy's seasonings. The baskets
of line seasoning.
Walter Jackson got one. Our number one fan from 940 ESPN, Walter Jackson got one. He was there Friday or Saturday. Lovely wife. How much fun was she? I want to thank... so many. First String Sports came through with some nice gifts.
And I want to thank you, though, for this opening monologue. This might be the most beneficial, of course, to the cause and leukemia and lymphoma, but this is about as boring as opening as we've ever done. Just want to make that clear. Let's go take a break and let's try to rev it up and get that local energy back.
Yeah, we're going to come back, talk how the Warriors blew a 31-point lead. I'm going to ask Coach Johnson, what do you do when you're up 31 points? Do you shut it down or you keep it going? Don't go anywhere. This is a special edition of the Rise Show Wednesday. We'll be right back.
The Rise Show is sponsored by Bowman & Associates, Fashion Furniture, and Van Buren Insurance.
Welcome back. We are live here at Fashion Furniture El Paso Blackstone. It's the Pag Meter. It's Matty J. And the crowd here is just laughing at the Pag Meter. What's going on here, Matt? It's
well,
just like every
cartoon,
day of the week.
My friend.
Okay. Well, I had a red jacket the other
funny,
night.
Funny man.
I had a red jacket on the other night. People thought I was a cartoon.
I'm liking that red jacket. I'm going to send. I need a red jacket, a purple. I need
need
variety of colors of jackets.
You need a purple.
For events like that, because you really stood out.
Yeah, you got to get a purple.
I thought your son-in-law looked pretty good in that red jacket too, Nick Folio.
Yeah, he did.
By the way, good man. How proud you must be to know that a young man like that came into your family. I mean, that has to, because there's lots of families where, you know, this is the guy you're bringing home, huh? Okay, this is going to be the one. I've got a daughter. I wonder about that all the time. Which young man is she going to settle on when it's that time? But Nick Folio, you got a winner in Nick.
Well, let's think about that. His name's Nick. He's Italian. He's a farmer. Bingo. Yeah, really, I think they got the short end of the stick when we came into the family. They're like, oh, no. Are you kidding? So, yeah, but he, great
well, they
guy.
Know. They have the, now they have the factor of knowing that, well, the holidays won't be boring. It won't be boring with him around.
Well, Alexa lectures me before we go to any function. She sits me down. This is what I want from you. And she tells me. So I have to be on my good, my best behavior for about 10 minutes. And then I.
What is she looking for out of you?
Just to say dumb things, you know.
Don't, yeah, watch don't, the don't, mouth. Yeah. Don't go on the tangent that Muhammad Ali is overrated or those types of areas. Don't go into that area.
Yeah, pretty much. But that's a debate we can go
you
on.
You do have
forever.
A lot of opinions, and you're right, wrong, or indifferent. You stick by them, and that's what's so.
Well, I've got two or three great opinions today we're going to get through. We're going to talk about the silly rule at the Fresno Easter Classic, how teams can't play that extra game if they get to the championship. We'll talk about that today. We're also going to talk about, and I got beat up on Twitter, private professional high schools versus public professional high schools in the Cal High Preps rankings. We're going to talk about that. Before we get to that, here at Fashion Furniture, El Paso Blackstone, the best furniture store on the planet to get your house ready for Easter, as they're still laughing at me over here in the gallery. The Warriors.
That was the topic we were going to discuss.
Yeah, I watched. Well, I'm getting there.
Is that where you're going?
Yes.
Okay, he might be going there, ladies and gentlemen.
I almost turned the channel. They're up 31 points in the second half over the Clippers.
I did.
So I watched it for a minute. And okay, it's down to 27. It's game's over. So two games of nothing. Clippers have zero chance to go. Well, wait a minute. It's down to 20 and down to 18, and here we come down to 15, and hey, they cut it to 12. Well, maybe we got a fourth, 7 minutes to go, down to 9. No, there's no way. Curry hit a few shots, back to 12, back to 9, or down to 7. Oh, back to 9, back to 5. And next thing you know, the Clippers tied and take the lead. I'm like, they blew a 31-point lead, Matt.
And I didn't know about it until the next morning when some of the talking heads were making jokes about it, and Twitter was making jokes about, you know, the Warriors finally got there. What happened? And that's when I discovered that they gave that lead up. What happens is, and it's so rare. First of all, that's some type of an NBA, obviously, playoff comeback record, all-time type deal. So it's so rare that I don't think you need to play too much into it. But what happens is, once you sit high-caliber athletes down, okay, call it a night, great job, and you put them down, everything in their mind, everything in their psyche, everything goes bye-bye. They start wandering off to the steak dinner afterwards at Fleming's. They're going to pick up the wife and kids. They've got to make sure that they have enough time to get back to the hotel because they're all the things that go on in an athlete's mind get shut down. And then all of a sudden you got a coach, hey, warm up again. We need you back in. You've lost it.
Well, that never happened. Steph Curry played the whole game.
No, if you'll notice,
no,
I watched
Durant played until he fouled out.
Once they got going, let's not talk yet about the Cousins injury, but once they got going, I was thinking, oh, good. Lots of guys are playing now. I'm seeing faces out there like, oh, God, yeah, I haven't seen him in a while. A lot of rotation was going on. Slowly but surely losing the mojo of Draymond Green, Steph Curry, KD, all Clay. They started losing the synergy and that feel of the rotation. Once your coach's rotation starts to get all off whack, it's hard to get it back and cycle it back on track.
So true.
It's just the way it is. You can't sit a football player, quarterback, okay, you're done, nope. And they get back, they unbuckle their chin strap, they put their little overcoat on, put their baseball cap on, grab the iPad, start looking at stuff, and all of a sudden, you know, a quarter later, hey, can you warm that cannon up again? Something happened. It's crazy, I know, but you got to go. It's hard to do that.
Well, it's like when I'm playing you in ping pong, I'm up 8-0, and all of a sudden you take the foot off the gas.
And furthermore, and you're up by,
you know what
30.
I mean? Yeah.
Do you really want to be something you're very critical of? And sometimes people would disagree, and sometimes maybe they agree. I don't know. We don't get reports like that on this show. I don't know. But you get lazy.
Yeah.
You get complacent. If I don't play good defense already, what kind of defense am I going to play when I'm up by 30 on a dude? Oh, go ahead, take that layup. I got a big cushion.
Yeah.
I'm not worried about that. And in the NBA, as we just saw, they can score in bunches more than any professional sport. where you can make quick comebacks. I mean, a 15-2 run is nothing in the world of the National Basketball Association. And that's what happened.
Yeah, I would guess that this is, could be a wake-up call for the world champion. They're the best team in basketball. But just think about one extra game in the NBA or any playoff game. 17,000 people paying that kind of money.
Yeah.
Hotels, food, the whole nine yards. A lot of money goes into that one extra game. I think it'll be a wake-up call for the Warriors.
It's a defensive. It's an aggression and a defensive issue. You look at Philadelphia, they threw up like 160 points the other night or some crazy number. The scoring that's going on, that's something where it's a mindset. And now the Warrior, literally the Warrior mentality, will come out and they probably will dig in. But I will say, did you see the 60 Minutes piece on the Golden State Warrior interview with the team? There's problems going on in the Warriors organization. Problems with the team.
I'm not sold on Steve Kerr.
I'm not sold on the players, ID, KD.
Why didn't KD,
Draymond,
Kevin
the guys.
Durant.
KD's about ready to check out.
Kevin
Durant
does not
look
happy. He's not a team player. Let's throw it about there. Let's just be honest with each other. I'm not sold on Steve Kerr. I think they got a super team. They play as individuals, but yet as a team, they're the best.
And I'm completely sold on Steve Kerr because anyone who's ever dealt with egos and high money caliber profile athletes will definitely tell you it's not easy to mesh all those personalities in a room. He does that. And isn't that shocking? He comes from a guy, the Zen Master Phil Jackson organization with the Chicago Bulls, where his whole vision in life was beyond basketball, getting the players to read books, to see life outside of their sport. And I think Steve Kerr is the best in the business at that.
I think
he has four of the greatest basketball players on the planet residing under his watch. On the 60 Minutes interview, they said,
right.
So how much coaching do you do? I don't coach. I let him go. Stephen Curry, primarily. What do you tell him? I don't tell him anything. Why would I want to get in his way? He learned in year one when he was with Steph, and Steph was actually playing, I think it was the Clippers. And he went on some, as he called it, some Harlem Globetrotter, Curly Neal dribbling exhibition, threw defenders, circled a guy, came back around, and he's over there with his hands and said, like, pass the ball. And then he rotated out, went beyond the three-point line, fadeaway three-pointer from about 32 foot, nothing but net, and he sat down and said, I can't tell that guy anything. That's who he is. How many coaches would do that? How many coaches overcoach? He doesn't. I love Steve Kerr, and
but
I love what he does.
I will never put Steve Kerr in the same category as a Pat Riley or a Phil Jackson. He's purely JV. And that's always going to be. Sorry, I hate people. Come on, Pat. I mean, there's no way. Come on. I'm sorry. He is.
Yeah.
They've got.
One,
but
one,
I'll tell you what.
One
now,
man's opinion, I disagree.
Exactly. But Mr. Curry is by far undisputed the greatest shooter in the history of basketball. He is unbelievable.
Yeah.
But that's it. He's not a great defensive player. He's soft at times, but boy, he can shoot.
Well, I'll take that ability coupled with a decent amount of rebounding. I think he is great with his vision.
So quick.
His assists are up. I think it's definite that he's going to have to give up something so he doesn't play defense quite as well as you would like.
He didn't have to. You're right. Because he's the greatest shooter in the history of basketball. And he's another player. It's like Tiger Woods, who's changed the game of basketball. Before, it was the ESPN Top 10, and they'd show 8 slam dunks. Look at the back reverse flip slam. No one ever could shoot 10 years ago. Steph Curry comes in, and all of a sudden, high school basketball, everyone's shooting threes now. They want to be like Steph Curry.
It's part of the concept. It's part of the game now. The three-point line is in a very, very effective weapon. It's in the playbook, and it's primarily the number one go-to punch that you can deliver. I think when the three-point line first came in, it was still like a mystery, you know. We don't want to take a low-percentage shot out there. We want to bang it down and low and get high-percentage shots. That's why you saw all these aircraft carriers out there in college basketball in the league. When was the last time you turned on a March Madness game and saw the likes of a Shaquille, a Patrick Ewing, the people like that? They're not out there anymore. It's a 6'8", 6'10" guys hanging out behind the arc.
Well,
the three-point line has finally arrived now. It's there. It's part of the game plan.
It could go back to that someday when we start getting 7'4" players coming back in. But I got a message. Tiger, according to Matt, Tiger's the greatest. Well, then that means Bill Russell is the greatest NBA player of all time.
Well, according to your caller or your texter, let them know. That's not what I said. I said the greatest golfer of all time, based on numbers, is Jack Nicklaus. Number two is Tiger.
So Bill Russell's the greatest of all time, then, he's saying.
I think you said Tiger was the greatest and threw it out there without any consideration to others.
I asked you, is Tiger the greatest of all time?
He's not the greatest of all time. For me, in my opinion, would be yes. But from the measuring sticks and the way business is handled in this country and the world, it's based on numbers. Jack Nicklaus, with the 18 majors, has to reign king.
So he's saying Bill Russell's got to be the greatest NBA player because he's won, what, 13 in a row, whatever it was back then?
All his championships.
So he's the greatest basketball player?
No, because he didn't do it on his own. It's team sport. Team sport's hard to gauge who's the greatest. Clearly, the greatest of all time is very debatable. But certainly, if you didn't win any rings, Charles Barkley was a great basketball player. I don't think he won any rings.
Nope.
Right? Well, Michael Jordan did. And that's usually where people go when they start talking greatest. So I get the point. Don't get me wrong. I get it. And Bill Russell and the likes of that. But once again, Bill Russell, and for all their greatness, there was about four basketball teams in the NBA that were trying to get it done in those days. There was not the level of competition that they have in today's game. The evolution of athletes, and I'm an older guy who can say that without any hesitation. The evolution of the human body, the training methods, the supplements kids take nowadays, we're just that much better. You can't compare that time to this time.
Well, everybody wanted to be on the Celtics or the Lakers back in the day. Now, parity, you watch in the in NBA or in college basketball, how many great players are now.
And you've said for a long time, and I agree, the women's game of basketball, for the longest time, there was Tennessee, UConn came on board, and about five or six others. That's it. Now you're starting to see the UConn dynasty is starting to slow down a bit. And it's not like they're not getting the same level of basketball players. But Notre Dame, Georgia, a lot of variety of colleges now are cranking it up in the world of basketball and women's basketball.
And a great example in women's softball, where back in the 90s when Fresno State won, there was three teams.
Yep.
Arizona, UCLA, and Fresno State. That was it. Now there's many teams that play college softball.
Yep.
So I watched a good one yesterday. The Buchanan Bears softball team won the Easter Classic. They beat they beat Clovis North in the semifinals, in which Buchanan can flip and hit. I mean, this team is legit when it comes to hitters. They got pitching, they got hitting, and so they play Clovis in the championship. So I'm just saying right now, I'm going to go on a limb, but I think it's going to be Clovis and the Buchanan Bears at Fresno State for the Valley Championship. Bullard have to prove to me that you can win the game. They lost twice this year to Dinuba, but boy, Buchanan can swing the bat.
Yeah, and interesting you would say that, because in that tournament, in the softball tournament, do they also base scores, runs against you in the final to find out who ultimately gets into the championship games?
No, it's wins versus wins, baby. That's what they go to. You got to win to get in there. There's no tiebreakers because softball. Now here's the thing. There's nothing like Buchanan when it comes to softball. They got four great fields. They got the greatest snack bar on the planet. The whole thing is cooking. There's a million people out there. They don't have the scoreboards working. Yeah. Every time you go to one, because I had Bullard was playing, Clovis West was playing Dinuba. I had Clovis East on the other field. Clovis North playing Buchanan. Yeah. And then you have Hanford playing Clovis. So I'm walking around. Hey, what's the score? I think it's 3-1. Gary, is it 3-1? I don't know. Sally, what do you got? Oh, it's 4-1. We're one inning. I think it's a fifth. No, it's a sixth. They've got more money out there going, and they can't work the scoreboards.
Yeah.
Well,
I remember you and I together. It's so true that we showed up at some tournament games out there, and we sat in and snuggled in with Coach Batesel. Remember, we had to ask him, and his wife was keeping score, and we had it all figured out, and we got all of our information we needed. You have to talk to the spectators and figure out, where are we at? Who's winning? What's going on?
They don't have a PA announcer for softball, and they don't have the scoreboards working. But softball's a whole other world. I want to talk about a silly rule going on in the Fresno Easter Classic. We're going to pump up that big game tonight, Buat Colony versus Clovis for the championship. Don't go anywhere, because I have some questions for the CIF, and I hope Sir Jim and company and the state is listening. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rice Show special edition on Wednesday at the Pag Meter. Matt Johnson. We'll be right back.
The Rye Show is sponsored by Bowman & Associates, Fashion Furniture, and Van Buren Insurance.
Welcome back. We are live right here at Fashion Furniture, El Paso Blackstone. It's the Pag Meter. It's Matty J. A special addition to the Rye Show, the Fashion Furniture scoreboard for the Easter Classic. Games played at 10 a.m. today. Final score, Madera beat Foothill from Sacramento, 9-4. Clovis East over North Bakersfield, a five-inning game, 10-0. Clovis West goes 4-0. They beat Crater from Oregon, 15-5. Clovis North goes 4-0. They shut out Hanford West, 13-0. Memorial beat Sunnyside in five innings, 12-1. Buchanan beat Oakmont in eight innings, 3-2. They go 4-0. Placer beats Fresno High, 6-0. And those are the scores right now going in, Matt. Easter Classic, and here's my gripe. So last night, it's always fun to go to Wednesday. Everybody plays three games Monday and Tuesday. You either play a doubleheader Monday
yep.
or one on Tuesday or vice versa. So you play. So we always have a bunch of 3-0 teams. And then today, this morning, you see who's going to be 4-0, and then you go to the run, whoever gives up the fewest runs. Well, now, because of the CIF, the state CIF, they don't let teams play that extra fifth game. So now you got to so last few years, an out-of-town team would get to the championship, and they go, hey, our section won't let us play the championship, so you got to go another one. That's the dumbest rule next to the track false start where you send a kid home. He comes all the way from San Diego, false start. Hey, get your stuff, get your bag, tell your parents, hey, get out of here because you're out of here. It's the dumbest thing since the track false start. Are you trying to tell me I spent all this money, I spent a week in Fresno to play in the Easter Classic, we get to the championship, and we can't play? Find yeah. another dumb rule than that one.
I can't. I can't. I'm still trying to get my hands around tournament play where you sign up and get in a tournament, and you win four straight games, but you're not playing for any kind of championship. I mean, right? I mean, can you imagine you go down to the San Diego Poway High School Wrestling Titan Invitational for wrestling, and how'd you do, son? I won them all, Dad. All good. Show me your medal. I want to see your medal. I've heard about those medals in Poway. I didn't get a medal. I wasn't in the championship, man. What do you mean? You never lost. I didn't get the championship. That's the only thing I can see.
Yeah, they won't let me wrestle that one extra match because I have too many going in.
Yeah, as far as you're right, it is the second worst rule that you would advance, but because of a policy where you're not allowed to play that whatever fifth game, I agree, that's the second worst rule. But you did bring up, without question, the worst rule in high school athletics.
Ever.
The false start. The poor kid spent his entire summer leading into a senior year. This is the year. This is Vision Quest. This is the year I train extra hard. This is the year I get it done. I'm going to win the state 100-meter championship. Last year, I finished in second. Sophomore year, I was in fourth. But this year, I'm the favorite. I'm going to go take the win. You flinch in the wind. The guy raises his flag, comes up to you, doesn't even give you a handshake, throws a red card in your face, and as you said, that's really how basically improper and inhumane it is. He throws a red flag at you, doesn't say, sorry, kid, and the kid has to pack up and go back home.
Yeah, Captain Crunch doesn't go get to talk to somebody else and say, hey, I think I saw lane four move. No, he's out. I can't tell, but he's gone.
Yeah, that's the one that is probably for high school. You know, we're talking, if they want to do that with the pro guys, it's still, I don't like it. College, okay, I get it. Whatever. But a high school kid, do they understand what a young man or woman puts into their craft to get to that pinnacle? The shame you must feel on that ride home to San Diego from Fresno, knowing you didn't even get a chance to run, let alone get beat at the tape to lose for the second year in a row in the finals. There's nothing like that.
No. So what they have to do in this Fresno Easter Classic, they have to decide on Tuesday night,
yes,
going into Wednesday, and there were seven teams that were 3-0, and they go for the fewest runs given up, and Buick Colony and the Clovis Cougars were the two lowest. So they're going to play tonight at Clovis West at 7:30. Buick Colony, the Thunder, takes on Clovis, who's won it nine times. They're the nine-time Fresno Easter Baseball Classic champions. And this, if James Patrick, the legendary coach, is going to go out, there's talk that he might retire this year. Could it be number 10? Now,
Seems like you're right, though. Every time this year, it seems like I've been doing this with you for years. The Clovis Cougars Easter Classic.
Yeah. Well, and not only that, they have to play, the track schools have to play the toughest schedule.
Yeah, that's
Clovis,
the other thing.
Clovis had to play Jesuit, who's out off the charts. If you look at who Clovis had to play, they did warm up against Lamar, who's struggling this year. Then they have to play a powerhouse in Jesuit. They beat them 5-0. And then on Tuesday, let's see, Clovis had to go play Hanford with their ace. So they're getting three aces in a row. And now Clovis has to get another race because Buick Colony has Mr. Kendricks, who's a Fresno State pick. Mike Batesel wants him. He's verbally committed to Fresno State. So tonight you're going to see a guy with an earned run average about one from Buick Colony take on Clovis. And I asked Clovis, who you guys throwing? He goes, well, we're throwing Johnny Ostap, which we have no other pitching. We're done with pitching. So everyone's going to throw one inning at a time tonight for Clovis. That's how they're going to have to do it.
Wow. Has anybody mention to you or to the PagMeter Twitter or all your followers that what a great job this thing is?
The 50th annual Fresno Easter Classic.
The Pappy family. This is the best go-to-a-tournament game program. It's really a magazine. The work that they put in and the loyal local sponsors to this great event, the Easter Classic. Anytime you go to a lot, you and I do so many tournaments, you go and it's like a, you know, was done in the coach's office and he stapled together in black and white a couple copies of the roster and that's what we get. You go to the Easter Classic, you get a full, right?
Yeah,
like
it's
a World
full
Series
program.
Game program. I mean, this is,
and you see Doghouse.
We're not talking about
again.
The Valley Championships or that kind of, we're talking about a mid-season baseball tournament. That is a great game program.
It really is, and there's going to be another 3,000 people tonight at Clovis West. Because you know, if you're Buick Colony, who's a great team, they're up in Atwater. And by the way, we should be doing this game on the radio because this is going to be a huge one. Because for the Valley, Buick Colony is in our signal. Buick Colony listens. They hear about the track. Everyone says the track is the greatest league in the United States. You know, they've been wanting to play a track team. They
what
had
kind
a,
of schedule did? What did Buick play in the tournament? Was it comparable?
Not even close. Buick Colony, they're a very, very good team, but they knocked off, let me see. Let me get the standby. I'm going to get it right now. Where's my Buick Colony? They played one game on Monday, and they beat Hoover. And then on Tuesday, let's see what they did. They had to play, I'm trying to find, did they play? Oh, there we go. They played Reedley and Madera.
Okay, no,
which Madera is a very good team. Yeah. Reedley's also very good in Division III. But Buick Colony is very, very good, and they would be in the top five on the PagMeter rankings if they played in this area because they have pitching.
Yes.
So I'm excited to see Mr. Kendricks tonight, the ace of Buick Colony, go against the Clovis Cougars. And Clovis Cougars, again, playing great. They're getting pitching now. I think they got the best hitter in the Valley, Darian Miller, the catcher, who's an old school. You bring him a fastball, if it's first pitch, he's going after it. A lot of kids now. But I got to watch, you look at Stockdale, and they have to go against Buchanan in that first round. Buchanan, Stockdale, Clovis North, Clovis East, they all have to play the tough schedules. And there's no question about it. But bottom of the seventh, it's forget the score, but Brady Hormel on. Two on.
This is the story.
Here's our guy.
Yeah.
In the pouring rain, which I didn't think was going to rain, but it was, crushes one off the fair foul pole down the right field line for a three-run walk-off homer. And the number one ranked team in the Valley, Buchanan. And they go 4-0, and they're not playing in the championship. But, you know, there's so many teams that go 4-0 in this thing, and you got to go a tiebreaker, and it's fewest runs given up. And when you're playing a Stockdale team, which is really a seeding game, because if Stockdale wins that, they're saying, hey, we beat Buchanan in the Easter Classic. We want a higher seed when the playoffs come. But I'll tell you what, Coach Brad Chambers over there for the Stockdale Mustangs, they are young. They only have three seniors on the whole team. For the next 2 years after this, keep an eye on the Mustangs. They are loaded.
Yeah, I've been missing out on some of this action because, as you know, I coach track and field. along with football.
I'm sorry. Yeah, Greg Showers. I'm sorry.
Greg Showers, yeah. And I've been
He's
out.
He's our guy.
Yeah, great coach, yeah. And really a like that dude. He's a good man.
Well, let's say Brad is the head coach. Greg, they're all related over there at Stockdale. But I watched the dugout. They have the best time coaching on that team. Every coach are best friends. That's what I love about it. There's no, hey, what'd you do? Are you going to have a steal? Great. Good job, coach. I love that. Great communication. The kids feed off it. I love that. But then I didn't think it was going to rain. And it started raining. Is it over now? We're going to get more rain, Matt Meter.
It's over for a bit. We'll have a little bit left here in April, but get ready. The heat's coming on us. We'll be at 90 here on the weekend.
Yeah, well, let's take a break. We're going to come back and talk about the Fresno Easter Classic, baseball in general, softball going on, and track. Matt wants to talk a little bit of track. Take your phone calls. Call Russ at 844-940-ESPN. I also want to talk about private and professional high schools when it comes to rankings. Don't go anywhere. This is a special edition of The Rice Show on 940 ESPN.
We'll be right back live from Faction Furniture.
Shazare has the ball in. At the buzzer, he throws up a shot. It's gone! And we're tied! 76 all. Shazare flew through the lane and lays it in.
Shades of Danny Ainge, Tyus Edney, UCLA. Shazare goes the whole length in 3.2 seconds to lay it in right at the buzzer.
We're going double overtime.
This is why we do local sports. This is the greatest show in town.
Central Valley, it's time for the 940 ESPN Rye Show. The 940 ESPN Rye Show is brought to you by Bowman & Associates, Fashion Furniture, and Van Buren Insurance. And now, here are your hosts, Nick Papagni and Matt Johnson.
Welcome back to a special edition of the Rise Show here on Wednesday. Tomorrow, when you turn on the Rise, the Giants will be playing, so that's why we're here on Wednesday, getting you ready for Easter. Happy Easter, everybody. It's the Pag Meter, Matty J, here at the greatest furniture store on the planet. Matt, that opening, and I love the opening. Thanks to Bobby and Russ and Jim who put it together. But the Bullard Knights, 2 years in a row, lost a buzzer beater just like that. 2 years ago, it was Central, where the Knights just dribbled. They didn't want to shoot the ball at half court. They decided to dribble and not shoot. Game over. Remember that one?
Oh, yeah.
And then they're still, Bullard saying, hey, did not get the shot off in time, and we'll never know. But what a great, great game it was at Selden Arena.
It was magical, but the nature of how they had to do it, like I said, it's like anyone who remembers back to BYU, Danny Ainge, March Madness, going the length of the court, Tyus Edney, UCLA, buzzer beater. It's not like they had to throw a long pass down to Christian Laettner from Duke and then throw it up. No, he took the ball and dribbled and penetrated all the way on his own, right at the buzzer.
That was a planned play. Remember, we had Vance
Wahlberg
on.
Yeah, they worked at it practice.
We can't pass it. You're going to have to go right down the lane.
And they knew exactly what kind of time it would take for one of the premier athletes in our valley, Mr. Shazare, to get from point A to point B. And it worked.
What a game he had, Dante Shazare.
I'll be talking about him a little bit later because he has discovered the world of track and field, and he's quietly going about becoming one of the leaders in the state in the long jump. He's an incredible, gifted athlete.
And the player who had a great game, Alex Villey, from Clovis West, just signed. He's going to be at San Francisco State. They're getting a good one. I think he's a late bloomer. He's only going to get better.
He certainly has the tenacity and the drive to be a great one.
So the Fresno Easter Baseball Classic is underway. We'll get you the scoreboard in a few minutes. We do know it's 7:30 tonight. The Thunder of Buick Colony will take on James Patrick and the Clovis Cougars. The champion, Clovis, is going for their their 10th Easter Classic Championship. That's pretty good. I mean, Cougars got it going. But, I mean, this is going to be Buick
and,
once
well, yeah,
a show.
And to win those titles and to win the Easter Classic Championship, you have to win all your games. I mean,
and they're playing a tough schedule.
With the great opponents they bring into this tournament every year, you can't afford to lose. And that they've been perfect to this point, and that allows them to get into the championship.
The defending champs is Clovis North. In 2017 was Santana from San Diego, and they're playing in this one.
Yep.
And then Clovis won it, boom, 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 16, 15, and 14. So Clovis is trying to get back in. It's going to be a good one. It's going to be a big crowd tonight at Clovis West on a perfect evening for baseball, right?
Oh, yeah.
You're going to be out there with me?
That would be the plan, my
okay,
friend.
Yeah, they'll have food out there for Matt. Matt's always – we didn't make the Fowler tournament this year, by the way.
Well, I was I was
busy.
Out with track and field.
Yeah, and I went all over the place. I was Emmanuel, got to watch Sierra Pacific. So Sierra Pacific had some issues. About 11 players were suspended, so they had to bring up almost the entire JV team. They'll be back in action, but boy, oh boy, not a good time to play when they're playing tough schedules in the Easter tournament. Congratulations to the Liberty Bedera Hawks in baseball. They are the Fowler Classic champions. So Mario Kuzma has got it going on again, the defending Division V champs, and watch out for the Hawks again.
Yeah, what's going on now with your criticism of the rankings?
Okay, here's my problem.
I want to get into this a little bit.
Okay.
We talk about this every show.
And I just got beaten up again on Twitter, but I just said Buchanan comes in number 6 in the state, and the three teams in front of him, I'm not going to give
baseball rankings.
Baseball rankings, number 6 in the state behind three private professional high schools. And two of them, Cypress is one. I thought they were private, but they're not. And I said, well, that's pretty good. Buchanan is either one or two in the state in the public school. And then it happened. Hey, Bagmeier, come on. They recruit just like everybody else. Come on. You can't. That's a private professional high school, Buchanan. I went, wait a minute. The difference is when players come in at Buchanan, you might get it. You might get a kid from Kerman. Hey, maybe a kid transfers from Bullard, whatever the case. Those private professional high schools, Matt, are coming all over the country, all over Southern California. Do you think, can you compare the two?
No, not at all. Primarily, and I might be wrong on this, because I'm going to fess up right from the get, before I even get myself into saying something I'm not fully aware of. So I'm going to put a disclaimer on this. Primarily, I believe that the Buchanan baseball team is a product of their Babe Ruth and their youth and the area that they all come up in. You might get the occasional kid from the Dominican Republic or, you know, somebody comes in from Venezuela or something that I'm not aware of. But it's not a staple of their program. Those kids are they come through the process in that program from the jump. I don't have a problem with rankings. In fact, I enjoy looking at rankings. What I have a problem is these agencies, whether it's Max Preps, Cal High Sports, that still lump the rankings and they don't distinguish between private and public. It's so unfair to the process to put all these different sports and then put a ranking to these high schools on the sports that they're involved in when they're clearly not playing on the same level playing field. So why would you put any notice into, and the number 10, top 10 ranked baseball, football, basketball teams in America, all you have to do is read them and you know exactly what's going on, because they're all primarily 80 to 90% are what you consider the private professionals. I don't have a problem with that. Just don't compare them to the public schools that are getting and scrapping by with everything they've got coming in from their neighborhood or their boundary area. It's just simple. But they put big stock, these agencies, these news outlets, and here it is. Here's my fabulous 20, and it's Pius the 10th, and Archbishop this, and that. Who cares?
Well, here's the top
Who
three
cares?
In
they
the
should
state.
Have their private, separate ranking altogether.
Lutheran from Orange County is the number one ranked team in state right now.
Yeah.
Harvard Westlake is number two, and De La Salle is number three.
Three, right there.
There were three. Now, they're coming from all over. And then, hey, way to go, Cypress. Cypress is 22-3 and number four. Eastlake, Chula Vista, your team, your town. And I'm sure that's
a college campus up there in the hills. That's where the Olympic training ground is still for down in Chula Vista in the hills where I grew up. Used to be just fields where we'd ride our dirt bikes. But Eastlake High School is a superpower as far as facilities and all that, but they are a public school.
And they're number 5, and Buchanan is number 6. So that's, and I just, and I look, anytime I see De La Salle, again, in Harvard Westlake, and, but here, you know, kind of reminds me of back in the day when ESPN used to have bodybuilding on there. Let's go to, you know, let's go to Connecticut, the bodybuilding. All these guys are on huge steroids. And they're so big, they look like the cow, the, I mean, the bulls at the rodeo coming up in the Clovis rodeo. And then, because they're all on steroids, they're promoting the sport. Yeah, look at Gary Jenkins over there, 240-pound boy. He's been lifted. He's got muscles over muscles.
Yeah.
That stopped, didn't it? Because steroids became, wait a minute, we can't be promoting a sport full of steroids. This is, to me, that's what Cal High Sports is doing. They're promoting the private professional high schools. And so why not? Every kid wants to go
more,
to...
Yeah, more of the kids, the impressionable minds, the impressionable parents
yeah.
see that. And that's where they want to go to school.
Yeah.
And there's a have and a have-not nature, which is inherent in anything we do in life. I would not argue that. It's just that can we please distinguish between, when is that going to get out? We all know what's going on. Distinguish between private school and public school, period. I don't understand how it's taking this long. I'm not going to compare my high school to the IMG Academy in Florida. That's just... Who would do that? But yet those rankings continue to promote that.
Yeah, I'm getting they're just flying in right now, and they're saying again, Buchanan again, kid. And you've said it all along.
Yeah.
Winning is an addiction of recruiting. And like you said, all again, okay, how about Clovis West girls basketball? Come on, Pag Meter. They're bringing kids every year in. We don't know if they're recruiting. We don't know if it's. You're at the grocery store, and somebody asks, hey, how is it over there? Oh, it's great. You should go over there. We're having a lot of fun. And all of a sudden, the parents transfer.
Well, can I just answer to that? Because obviously, there's some truth to all of that. There are public schools, Corona Centennial. You could argue a Buchanan or a Clovis West girls basketball team. You could make that argument. That's fair. There are schools that do public to the best, and they're public, and they're trying to compete in the world of this private professional. But by and large, I'm standing up for those who no one's going to Twitter in or text you in. You know, what about this school or that school? No, it's clear they play with the kids they have on in their neighborhoods and their campus. There's lots more of those than the occasional rare public school that goes outside the boundary of what's theirs to go continue to build championships. Clearly. That goes on. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm just talking purely from you throw these rankings up and they become like gospel, and I don't buy any of it. I'm not trying to see a public school try to compete in the world of football, for an example, against the IMG Academy when 22 of their guys are Division I football players.
Yeah, and
I'm just not, that's just, there's no argument to that. Anybody who would try to argue that isn't keeping up with high school, world of high school athletics like we are.
Yeah, the legendary Mark Gritton is texting in for you, Matt.
Yeah, well, Mark Gritton understands motocross like I do, and I grew up with Jimmy Winert and Roger DeCoster, and those guys were my heroes growing up as a kid when I was carving out the tracks all over South and East and North San Diego area all the way into other states. My family grew up in motorcycles.
So if you're, well, that's fantastic, and I love to hear that.
That's a totally different, back. Yeah.
Yeah, but if you're at Cal High Sports, Mark Tennyson, he wants to sell, he wants to get people going, and of course he wants to get the top private professional high schools on there, and that's what it's always going to be. But
what they're saying is when they validate that this is my ranking, and here they are, and there's always a few sprinkled in their public schools. But primarily, it doesn't take a rocket science to figure out. The best schools in America in certain sports, they're the private professionals. They're openly out there, and they're getting ranked. That is basically telling me, as a fan of the site, because I like reading Cal High Sports. I like keeping up on Max Preps. But that's telling me that it's okay. They've condoned that behavior. That's okay. Because they said they're the number one team. Well, I'll buy it then.
If they're doing that, then why don't they just enact the rule that everyone is, it's free game out there. It's free to roam. It's free to do whatever you can do. If you have get a kid in from wherever, you can do it. If you need to support a bus mechanism that allows your kids to get picked up by a van in the middle of the morning or the early morning and take them to your school, if that's part of what's okay to do, then let everyone have that right to do that. Just call it what it is. Let's not try to hide and pretend that this isn't going on. The rate of transfers are going up every single year. It's on us now. It's like Game of Thrones. The White Walkers exist. They're out there. They're going out and getting kids. But yet there are still schools that hold on to this belief that we build our programs through neighborhood, through our boundary mechanism. They're getting sand kicked all in their face on any given day, night, wherever the playing field they're at. But somebody, rather than saying, yes, of course, these are my number one ranked team, but here's my number, my top 20 public school rankings. Why don't they have separate rankings? Put them in a separate category, because that's where they belong. You don't rank the Duke Blue Demons with the Portland Trailblazers. They're in a separate division. That's a wholly, totally different deal. But yet in the world of high school athletics, all of us, because, well, you're 17, you're in high school, yep, you're all the same. A game goes on where 95% of the athletes on the field are already receiving offers from D1 schools. Need I say more? It does not follow the creed of competitive equity. It just doesn't.
So if you're running a high school here, then it's a private school.
Yeah.
And you don't know what's going to come in year to year. You just don't know. You know if you're at a public school, hey, boy, our 7th and 8th are looking pretty good. Hey, have you seen Billy and Johnny in the 5th grade or 5th grade and 6th grade? We got it going. They know in the future what might happen. You don't know in the private schools. How are you going to get kids in then? Because people want to know. I'm getting it.
No.
Pagmire, how are you going to get kids in?
There's nothing I have said. Let me be very clear. There's nothing that I have said or nothing I believe that what they're doing is wrong. I applaud that.
I agree.
I applaud that. You have to survive. Tuition and admissions and money and the business side of the school, you have to have and offer support and build programs, athletic programs. You get much more success. I spoke to this to some school a while ago about the business model. You want to sell tickets? You want to get more students coming to your school? You want to get your missions up? Be a champion on the field of play, girls and boys sports. Parents like that. I don't care if your son or daughter does not play any athletics. Going to a school where Alabama plays football on Saturday, I'd kind of like my son or daughter to be a part of that action. That's a great time for the student body, right? You're not trying to send your kid or son or daughter, for the most part, to a school that is a loser. They want to feel the taste of victory. It pumps their chest up that they're an alumni of that great institution. I agree with that, totally. What I don't agree with is rankings and trying to throw one over on us, Mr. Cal High or anyone else, that you're fooling me to believe that Orange Lutheran is the best baseball program in the state. Well, yeah, the best baseball program that money can buy. Those kids still go out and train hard, prepare hard, but they're coming from a talent pool that's a lot different than the pool that is in primarily most of the public schools, where dysfunction and problems at home are all over the program, where the idea of not getting rides and safe trips to where they have to go to compete and all that. The public schools have the money. The private schools have the riches. They have money and talent. That wins out every single time.
Okay, where I come from on this, Matt, yep. I 100% agree with you. No question about it. If you're a private school in our area, Central Section, and we do know that there's a private school here that's getting a lot of new football players coming in. And I love it. And if I was running that school, I'd have billboards. I'd be doing commercials. Get on over here to my school. We're going to make you a better player.
Hold that. Listen, what you're saying, I want you to finish that because you're on it. But I needed to throw in there so you can add to that what you're getting ready to say. That Pagmeter, myself, Matt Johnson, I promote that.
Yeah.
I've said that from years ago when we first started the show, 10 years ago. I promote the idea that is your business. That's your model. You have to survive. We live in America. Go do what you have to do. But don't pretend that your banner hanging on the wall is the same as some poor, weak sister public school that had to go out and get it done and put together a nice Hoosier run, if you will, and make a championship out of much of nothing, and you still won. Those are huge stories. For me, when you level the playing field, go out and get it. If Modern Day was competing against Costa Mesa High School, then I'd have a real problem with it. But Modern Day competes on the playing field with Orange Lutheran, Servite, schools that are like them, period.
But we don't have enough of these schools around here to do that. All I'm saying is, and this I like the idea that the CIF is thinking about going year to year, because you can't have a three-year model anymore.
That's right.
You don't know who's transferring. All I'm saying, if you're going to bring a whole new team in every year, then you need to play the big boys in Division I. That's all I ask. Recruit, put banners up, get hot air balloons to come over and throw whatever you want to do. I love it. I'll never say, oh, I don't like you recruit. Everybody recruits, but I like that fact. So year to year, if you come in and got, oh, hey, our offensive line's averaging 320 on the line, and we got two good, we need to be playing the big boys. Right? That's
totally
all I
agree.
Ask.
We'll explore that a little further. We come back after the break. You're listening to 940 ESPN The Rise. We'll be back.
The Rise Show is sponsored by Bowman & Associates, Fashion Furniture, and Van Buren Insurance.
Welcome back. This is the special edition of the Rise Show. We will not be on tomorrow on Thursday because of the Giants are on, so we moved it to Wednesday because we want to get you ready for Easter here at Fashion Furniture. Come on down and hang out with us here at the beautiful Fashion Furniture Studios. It's the Pag Meter, Matty J. Matt, Easter time. There's nothing like, you know, there's nothing like it in California, but there's nothing like Fashion Furniture Easter time.
Oh, yeah, spring is fully in the air. The Easter Bunny is on the table, dining table in front of us. Accessories for your look and feel inside your house, from candle holders to tabletops to bar sets. Everything you can imagine, hutches, china, everything is here. Mirrors, artwork, this is it.
And you got your finance set, too. They're going to take care of your budget-wise. This is A to Z. The salespeople here have been here for a long, long time. They're professionals. They can measure your room. They got you covered. You come in with a, I want that couch, when they go, it's just not going to fit, and then they can work with you.
Or you go into a place, and it's like, I like this, but what is it? Well, you know, I really don't know. Let me get back to you on that. When your entire experience with the sales staff is them telling you, not really sure on that, I'll have to ask. Right here, they've got answers for you right away. Seasoned veterans. There's no one seasoned in the veteranship of this business like they are here at Fashion Furniture.
Well, the only problem you're going to have, Matt, is, first of all, bring comfortable shoes because this place is huge. The other one is they have too much to choose from. The selection is off the charts. So you think you come in with an idea, then you start looking, Marge, what do you think? I don't know.
They'll customize your furniture for your that suits what you need. That's all I can ask.
And I want to thank Rod Avedekian and the family here helping out for my Man of the Year campaign. Thank you again. We had a great party on Saturday night. We're going to start an annual coaches bash now.
Yeah, we hit late. And I no worries, coaches. A lot have reached out to me. Don't worry about any of that. We hit you late with this party. We'll get it set up for next year and do an annual coaches, athletic directors, anyone that's involved in local sports, really, and try to kick off the spring with an annual bash like this.
No question about it. There's some that's supposed to be there didn't show up, and I don't want to pull an Al Pacino on them. Okay. But we're talking private professional high schools versus public professional high schools. Public high schools. And some are border.
There are some public professionals.
We got some
people that hit you up on Twitter and text you and send you emails. I mean, I would be disingenuous to tell you, yeah, that goes on, too, at the public school level, too.
No question. I guess
what it is anyone who's in that game, step up and I'll play Division I. The further you go down the chain, at least in our section, to divisions down, the fewer you see. You saw what happened to Liberty Madera Rancho. It's not that they recruited the kid. I guess his mother lived in the Liberty Ranchos area. But they get one kid.
The County Whiteside.
And all of a sudden, that basketball team is relevant. One guy. One Division I high school type talent comes in and can change the whole landscape of your team. But at schools like Central and Edison's and the Bakersfield, it takes more than one. So in Division One, let's call it what it is. You can't get it and win championships because you've got one dude. You've got to have multiple dudes.
And speaking of McConney Whiteside from the Liberty Madera Hawks, the City-County All-Star Basketball game this year is May 11th. He'll be playing in the game. It's at Bullard this year. We'll keep you updated. It's coming. It's amazing that the Section and Valley Championships for baseball and softball is on May 17th and 18th. We're a month away from wrapping up the season.
That's right.
The Easter tournament is late this year. Isn't that amazing? Tell me about track. When does it all happen?
Well, it's all on us now. We're kind of getting through and finishing the invitational aspect of track meets, and then the following week we get right into a Reedley Invitational, a Corcoran type Invitational. But that following week, which is 2 weeks now, you get into your league championships, and when you get a placement out of your league, whether you win or your qualifying standard time is so good that you get invited to the Northern Cal to the area championships, and from area those qualifiers compete for the state championship. So we're basically 1 month out from ending this entire run of track and field.
So how does it work, man? Let's say I'm a pretty good kid and I didn't win a Benny tournament. You have to qualify to get to the Valley Champ, the Masters, correct?
That's correct.
Okay, so you could take so many certain points or however it works.
Well, you could have a number that you've put up, all right, that can actually, a bona fide number that will take you just about anywhere. But as you go through this playoff, if you will, for track and field, you have to be present, ready to run. And if you get into the North Area Championships or the South, and there's different areas of our section where there's championships getting ready to hit us, if you follow into fifth place, but your heat was so fast and your number in that heat gave you a fifth place, that still does not mean that you can't qualify for our Masters, our Valley Championships of track. And when you go to the Masters of our Valley Championships, if you finish in fourth place, but you triple jump, as an example, 47-10, and there was four people ahead of you that jumped further than you, you still have a qualifying standard to go to the state championship. So it's not all about finishing one, two, or three as you move down this road from pretty much here on out. It's about laying down a number or throwing a discus or a shot or high jumping or whatever event you're in to a standard that meets the qualifying mark. I've seen it done before. For an example, you're going to find out this year there's an unusual amount of fast boy runners, male runners, unusual amount. And they're all kind of lumped around in the same, but I don't think I can ever remember in recent memory this many 100-meter participants in the boys that are all under 11 seconds, 10-6, 10-6-9, 10-7, 10-7, 10-8, 10-8, 10. There's a whole host of guys who are under 11 seconds in the 100 meters.
Who's a favorite?
Nathan Scruggs out of Clovis North by way of, here we go, transfer out of Central.
So if they ran 10 times, all of them together, would Scruggs win it 10 in a row, or would it be close? Because of the fall, you don't want to get – it's all key to me, Matt, is the who can get off that great start without without false start and you're done. So is it about the start?
It is. Ramon Henderson out of Liberty Bakersfield is close to Scruggs. Scruggs' time that I'm talking about, I'm referencing these 10-6 type times, wind-aided. Had a nice tailwind at him. So I think you're absolutely right that it's not a given 10 out of 10 that Nathan's going to win. But he gets such good coaching. He's out at Clovis North. And Josh Norman, the sprint coach out there, does such a wonderful job. Heck, he's a, you know, was practically in the Olympics himself out of Central High School, Fresno City College, professional track and field. I think they get such good training that I put my money on the Clovis North sprinters because they also have one of the state-leading 4x1 relay teams out at Clovis North.
So that being said, Matt,
yes,
great point. My next question for you. So if Josh Norman is so good, that's why maybe kids are going to transfer to Clovis North. If you're fast, you're going to get better coaching. If you're also maybe transfer to Buchanan because you got the greatest facility in America, is that recruits itself, facilities.
Absolutely. baseball, football, volleyball, soccer, basketball, they're all the same. You're always going to have a contingent of athletes that would prefer to go somewhere else. Well, that's just human nature. And when somewhere else means that you're going into the cathedral of track and field, you mentioned the Buchanan facility, that's where you go. If you have a coach who's been proven that with your type of ability, he can take you to places that maybe other coaches and other training methods can't, where do you go? You go track that guy down. Okay, I think that's why, obviously, we got rid of the athletic-motivated clause in the central section, or in state of California, excuse me. How can you prove? Of course, you were saying it long before, years ago, that so you have to lie. Well, I got bullied, and I can't take it anymore. I can't be here. I don't feel safe here. All right, you get passed through to go to the other school.
Or they have a better
now
science
department.
Now you're
allowed to say, look, we either did a full family move, I can document it, here it is, or you can tell them that I'm going to go get trained by that guy. All right, well, you have to sit 30 days. Now, he didn't contact you. No, it's just me personally, my mom, my dad, we all feel like I want to go to that school. You'll have to sit your 30 days. But in track and field, I say 30, it's on a calendar, but in the big picture, track and field is the ultimate sport to transfer schools, in my opinion. Because who cares if you miss 4 or 5 track meets? Are you running? Yeah. Are you training with the best? Yeah.
But don't you have to qualify? What if you miss those for 4 or 5?
You have plenty of time to lay down one race to make sure that you're in the race.
So you win one race, you're in. You're pretty much, you're telling me.
Well, it depends on what kind of race and what kind of time.
If it's a Sanger, yes, sir. You went to the Sanger Invitational.
Yes.
And you win that race, are you automatically going to the show?
No.
Okay,
no.
So you got to win 2, maybe.
No, you don't have to. It's too early yet, is my point is. 30 days of being out for eligibility reasons in track and field. Football, I wouldn't want to go into a season and say I have to miss 6 games, 5 games. There's only 10 games. But in track, I mean, I could, you know, for giving you the right, I could pull up my schedule. We had 28 track meets.
Okay.
So you're going to miss 6 track meets? Big deal. Pick it up in the middle of the season. It's not like you're not training, is my point. Track and field, it's amazing to me, and it goes on in the southern section a lot where kids are leaving Milliken, Long Beach, going to Long Beach Poly from this school to that school. Oh, you're at Vista Marietta now? Oh, yeah. Because they're not going to really lose any track time at all.
Now, let's look on the other side of it. I'm a parent. I got a pretty good son or daughter. But that guy on the other side of that school could get me to where I need to go in the next level. And I think this is what parents are looking like. And I don't know if they're recruiting or not.
Yeah.
But I think they reach out to maybe, like you said, in 7-on-7, AAU, summer baseball, whatever the case may be, they're finding out that, you know what, that coach can get you to the next level. He's got contacts with Fullerton in baseball or USC in football. And I think that's how the communication starts. I don't see the coaching staff in the living room with the suit and tie on showing you brochures about our school. You don't do that. I've never heard of it.
Yeah, unless you're a part of that basketball group that we picked on a while ago that won the state championship, and he was announcing they went on a recruiting trip. They went on recruiting mission.
The Fighting Frogs.
The Fighting Frogs from, what was that school? I forget. Anyway, they went out and they made it public that they went out and they tried to build a team, and it worked.
Ribbit.
Yeah.
Ribbit Academy.
Ribbit Academy.
The Fighting Frogs.
Yeah.
He went on Twitter and said, hey, last year we didn't win one game, and it was horrible. And we went out and we made a decision. We're going to go start recruiting the country.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, they're state champions.
And then look what had happened, and it worked for us. So, I mean, that goes on. But
have we heard anything about he got reprimanded or anything on that? No.
I haven't really followed up the end of the story. I'm sure he did. There's a story brewing in the world of boys track and field, though, that we do have to mention because you don't – really pass this way very much in life in any section in the state and find two special plums in the throwing events like we have here in our valley. Daniel Viveros of Liberty Bakersfield is leading the state, number one now, I believe, in the nation. He was one or two, but I think his latest exploits in the shot put. He's thrown the shot put over 68 feet. 68 feet for Daniel Viveros out of Liberty Bakersfield. And Christian Johnson, the Texas commit, will be participating in track and field in Texas out of Buchanan, has thrown the shot put over 60 feet. But 68-11
already for the Liberty Bakersfield product, Daniel Viveros, who comes from a long line of family of throwers. And he also leads the section, one of the leaders in the state, one of the leaders in America in the discus, Daniel Viveros, and then Christian Johnson right there with him. So for those of you who are wondering, if I do go to the big track meet, the Masters Championship at Buchanan coming up here, who do I go out? Make sure you go out and hunt down the shot put in the discus events to see these two special young men, because one of these guys might go on to college to greatness and win a national championship or several, and one of these gentlemen might represent the United States of America in the Olympic Games or World Championships in track and field. That's how good they are.
Yeah, it just seems like that's one of the greatest shows in the world. When the state comes here and we get to show off our valley, and Buchanan is unbelievable, and they do such a great job. But I'll
Everybody, all the volunteers, yeah, the communities, everyone, the police force, that is, and I've been to, that's what I used to do as a youngster, whether I was competing or watching my kids run and compete and do all that. I've been to every state meet venue that there is, and nothing comes even close to the venue here in Clovis at the state championships. And
love it.
Buchanan's great stadium.
Love
stadium.
It, love it, love it. The only problem I have, again, is the false start. You have a great, great program. Track, get together, change it, fix it. I just can't see a kid who travels all the way from Eureka and all of a sudden has to go home because he flinched. And the guy wearing the white hat, the white shoes, white pants with the red jacket goes, "You're out. Next. Let's get it going again. We got a time frame. We got to get it going." What do you mean I'm out? Yeah, you flinched. I saw you. Get out of here. And the kid,
I think they have to definitely do something about that rule. If nothing else, maybe just in the boys and girls sprint races where you're on high alert status. You're in the blocks and your body is like a loaded stick of dynamite ready to explode. They're twitchy. I mean, they're fast twitch muscle people. Maybe we can, in the sprints, you know, clearly if you're false starting in the 800 meters or the 1600 meter, come on, dude. I mean, just did that millisecond give you any advantage? Come on. But in the sprint game, it's hard to, and every starter's different. And I coach the kids to know that, coach, you got to blow the whistle longer later. You need to listen on one thing. If you're trying to guess, you're a candidate to be a false start victim. Listen for that trigger being pulled. And everyone does it a little bit different time.
Yeah, so, then you get a backfire of a car, a mini wobble out there. And they all, so it's just, they need to change the rule. Just like they need to change the baseball Easter rule where teams cannot play in the championship. Can you imagine a team from San Diego, Santana, comes all the way here, and they can't play in the championship because they can't play that fifth game? The Seahawks, come on. Common sense. Again, we try. You know what, Matt? They're going to change it because you and I are talking
about
it.
Well, it's you said, in the spirit of the rule, I get the point, because we are definitely in the business, number one, numero uno, protection and the safety of all of our young student-athletes. That's number one. Protection and safety, and that's really what they're trying to do, is to limit the exposure that these young high school kids have in sports like baseball, where they throw the ball around a lot. And okay, enough is enough. Get them back to school. Get them off the circuit and let them enjoy their student life. But I make the parallel too. You know, I got pulled over the other day by.
Oh, I want to hear this.
Oh, I got pulled over the other day, and literally, I drive a state of the art little Toyota Prius.
Yeah, it's a shoebox.
A shoebox. Yeah. But it has all the electronical hands-free devices, and you call in, and it shows up on my screen in front of me and all that, except it doesn't give who it is that's calling me. And as a coach, I get a lot of phone calls, and I like to know who's calling me. And in my phone bank on my car, those names don't pop up. It shows up on my screen. So make a long story short, you're calling me, and I pick up the phone off my passenger seat, and I'm in my neighborhood. That's the thing that's crazy about it. I'm literally 100 yards from making the turn into Granville Homes to go home. And I pick up my phone where it's in my pass sheet, and I glance over and look at it. And as I'm looking, I have to see, oh, it's the PAG meter calling me. And to push my button on my steering wheel to take your call, I see a guy on a motorcycle, and I show him my phone as I drive by. Like, yep, you can see I'm not on my phone. And sure enough, the lights go on, he pulls me over. And I'm literally now about 70 yards from making the turn into my home development. And he comes to my window, and, how are you, sir? You look like you're on your phone. I know it looked, that's why I showed you. Well, I wasn't on the phone. I picked it up to see who'd called so I could tear it. And just as I did that, one of my coaching friends called, and my car, and it shows on the screen that someone's calling, and my phone shows who it is. And I said, just like that. I see that. I punch in, hands free. I'm not talking on my phone. Yeah, but the rule is you're not allowed to touch your phone. You can't have your phone. You can't. What? I'll drive miles sometimes just hanging onto my phone. Yep, can't do that. And I said, sir, in the spirit of the rule that was put in place, protection from those who get so caught up in their phone conversation, or God forbid they're texting while they're driving, that's truly losing focus of the road. That's what the rule's for. Don't tell me about picking up a phone. You're going to go with that? He said, Hank, can I see your license? He went back to his, I thought he was going to think about it, and I told him, I'm a teacher, coach, come on. They don't break any laws. I'm totally against that. I preach that on the radio. Don't talk on your phone. Don't do this. He goes back, and I could see his tank on his engine spitting out a long-ass ticket. He came in, and I go, I know you're not trying to give me a ticket. I was trying to pick a fight at this point, I'll be honest with you, because I couldn't believe what was happening. He was a young rookie cop. Then I found out, wait a minute, you're a highway patrolman. What are you doing in my neighborhood? Well, this is you're not annexed in the county. What do you mean I'm not annexed? I'm right here at my house. Well, he's in full jurisdiction, and I apologized to him and said, look, I value what you do. I support and sponsor all types of events through law enforcement, and I apologize if I came at you the wrong way, but I just can't believe you're giving me a ticket. And he said, I do believe what you're saying is true, and I do believe that you are signing this and you're not admitting guilt. But basically, they're going to force me to go fight it. My point is this. In the spirit of the rule, how many people actually are on their phone with the phone at their ear talking? That's against the law. Against the law. I get it. But how many people have ever been ticketed for picking their phone up off their seat and it's literally within 3 feet of your face? You pick it up to see who's calling, and they're getting tickets for that now. Now I have to draw the line, because I can tell you this without any hesitation. I can concentrate on the road multitasking like every American in this world does. You can't text, you can't talk and put the phone near your ear. I get it. But don't tell me that I haven't looked down at a fiscal report when I was at the restaurant as I'm driving, like, I don't know, Bob, what was that number? I looked to my right to see what that number was again. Why don't we just ticket that too? You can't move your eyes off the road for a millisecond. That, to me, is a little bit too much.
This therapy session was brought to you by Fashion Furniture for Matt Johnson.
That's
I would have handcuffed you.
That's
I would have taken
right.
you in if I was him. So you're lucky he didn't. So
I tried. I've watched enough of that funny TV bloopers where you see someone screaming at the patrolman while they're giving them some ticket they don't deserve. You fight for it. But they have a tough job, and I'm fully in support of all law enforcement. He's got his job to do, and I left him on a good vibe, at least, letting him know that this is ridiculous. You got to do your job. But then I go home that night, and I find out on Google that they're actually, we're in a push. We're trying to bring in as many violators of the phone rule. They're out there patrolling.
Yeah.
So I just found a new rule. You're not as allowed to even touch your phone.
I saw one the other day pull between the two cars, and he's looking in the mirror, or in the window, got really close to the car, seeing if they're on the phone. So I would be careful, everyone out there.
Yes.
Let's take a break. This is
a
special edition of the Rice Show, 940 ESPN.
The Valley's local sports leader.
The Rice Show is sponsored by Bowman & Associates, Fashion Furniture, and Van Buren Insurance.
Welcome back. Coming up at 2 is Tony D, the one, the only. Tony D will have you getting ready for the weekend. This is a special edition of the Rice Show. It's the Pag Meter. It's Matt Johnson. Tomorrow, Giant Baseball on the Rise. So don't get excited. I'll tweet out the podcast. So you'll
and the Dodgers are just, once again, showing their style.
The Dodgers.
They decided to take their AAA team to St. Louis, and then they came back and put the varsity on the field, and the Reds are now feeling the wrath of the Dodger machine.
Yeah, but Puig came back.
He came back. His first at-bat, facing Kershaw. Back home. Gone!
That was a good
bat. Had to be excited.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
But now he's settling into who he really is. He's a long ball hitter that strikes out a lot. He's done.
The Fresno Easter Classic, some scores from 1 o'clock, or the 10 o'clock games. Madera beat Foothill of Sacramento 9-4. Clovis East beat North of Bakersfield 10-0. Clovis West improves to 4-0. 2 years in a row, they go 4-0, and they don't get to the championship. They beat Crater 15-5. Clovis North goes 4-0. They beat Hanford West 13-0. Memorial 3-1. They beat Sunnyside 12-1. Buchanan goes 4-0. They beat Oakmont 3-2 in 8 innings. And Placer beat Fresno High 6-0. Tonight at 7:30, it's the Buick Colony. Thunder takes on the Clovis Cougars in the championship. And I'm excited. Alex Kendricks, the right-hander, he's verbally committed to play at Fresno State, pitching for Buick Colony. You know what? He's going to be fired up in front of the, probably the biggest crowd he's been playing, and a track school. You just know, Matt.
You get to test your theory. I mean, Buhawk is really
they're
a
good
public, but they're a professional school, too. So they get dudes from everywhere.
Well, yeah, they're the new school out in the Atwater area.
Well, they're not that new anymore.
Not anymore.
Yeah, they're new compared to Atwater High School. But, they've been around for quite a while.
Yeah, Clovis, James Patrick, going for his 10th Easter Classic Championship. And I would guess they're going to be pitching a little bit everybody because they're out of pitching.
Yeah, but they're not really going to do what you said, is every inning it's going to be a new guy.
Well, they're out of pitching. You got to go one or two innings at a time to get through. I don't know who's going to start. I haven't got the word yet for Clovis, but we'll find out. Liberty Madera Ranchos won the Easter Classic in baseball. They beat Fireball. And Buchanan Bears won the Easter Classic in softball. Buchanan's good. They're the number one team on the PAG meter. Clovis Cougars, the number two team. And, boy, that's going to be a battle. But Buchanan can sure swing the bats.
Who do you think has the best pitching staff in high school this year in our central section?
I think Buchanan's right there. Clovis North has a really good staff. Liberty's not too shabby, but I think overall Buchanan's probably got the best staff right now going in.
And our defending champ, Stockdale, they're just a young team?
Young team. They got Cade Sheedy. He's might be one of the top pitchers in the Valley. He's a senior going to Cal Poly. And I'm telling you, when he's on, nobody's going to want to play Stockdale in the first round. And they're young and good. I like what the coaching staff over there is doing. They're really good.
Well, and you know, in the backtrack back into track and field as we come close to the ending of the season, it's worth mentioning, too, and the girls' side, you know, we talked about Daniel Viveros, Liberty Bakersfield, and Christian Johnson of Buchanan in the throws and the shot put in the discus, and they're just blowing the whole, not just our area, but the nation is taking a look at these guys now. But in the girls' side, you have Jocelyn Budwig out of Fowler, who's one of the leaders in America, one of the leaders in our state in both the shot put in the discus, and Faith Bender, just a sophomore, who's coming on out of Liberty, that favorite school of throwers, Liberty Bakersfield. Faith Bender is right next to her, just a 10th grader. So the boys have their challenge going on between Christian Johnson, Daniel Viveros, and it's tight, not quite as tight as it was early in the season, Viveros is showing. And then in the girls, Budwig and Bender. Stay tuned for a great show in the shot put discus coming up.
Before we get out of here, one thing I forgot to mention, the Masters this year, Tiger winning it, they banned cell phones at the Masters. No one had a cell phone. Usually you see everyone with a cell phone looking. I love that. Went old school, the Masters. So great job how they pulled that off. Matt, great afternoon. Happy Easter to Bobby and Russ and the ESPN family, and to all that listen to the Rice Show. Have a great Easter with the family. We will be back next Thursday. Tony D coming up next. You've been listening to the Rice Show, a special edition on 940 ESPN, the Valley's local sports leader.
Get in the game.